The subtitle of your book is The New Industrial Revolution. How do you get from the ease of one person to make something like dollhouse furniture to really altering industry more generally?
You know, we've seen this picture twice before. This is really the third wave of the digital revolution. The first was the personal computer, and we saw what happened when we added the word desktop and personal to computing. They weren't more powerful computers than the mainframes that preceded them, but they were in the hands of more people, and these people had new ideas, and they revolutionized the world once. We then did it again with the web, and in this case, we put the ability to broadcast and to publish to a global audience in the hands of everybody. And once again, we revolutionized, in this case, the media industry and information industries. Now we're doing the same thing with physical stuff, with manufacturing.
How do you put that together with the whole variety of what you see at Maker Faire? You look at the flame shooting unicorn and you don't necessarily think this is the face of like the new industrial revolution.
Think of it just like the web. The web has got, cat videos, and it's got Facebook. The point is that you don't, is that there's room for everybody. There's room for amateurs and professionals. There's room for niche and room for mass. Some of those niche amateur sites may, in fact, become companies, startups, and maybe even big ones, but they don't have to. This is what's unique about digital marketplaces like the web, is that the amateurs and the professional exist on the same plane. And when you think of your own consumption, many of us spend, half of our day in professional, media content and half of it in amateur content, be it Twitter or Facebook or just blogs. And that's fine. They coexist. They compete for our attention. And I think of Maker Faire being the same way, that the amateurs and the professionals can coexist. The amateurs are driven by passion, by fun, because they can. Some of them may become startups and entrepreneurs and ultimately big companies, but they don't have to. And the point is that anybody can make anything, whether driven by love or money.
And is it that that the people, because there've always been a certain number of people who are kind of hobbyists and tinkerers and like to build things, is what's revolutionary that those people now can find a platform, start a company much more easily, or is it actually that more people will necessarily get involved in building things? Because Maker Faire, as amazing as what these people are doing seems, it still seems like a niche phenomenon. I'm wondering if you see that as like the beginning of something that's going to become more of a mass thing, or that it's more about supercharging a small group of people.
Maker Faire is just this physical incarnation of what is already a mass phenomenon. Look at Etsy or Kickstarter, and these are, billion-dollar, volume companies that are showing marketplaces for maker products, ones that originated in the grassroots. I think what defines the maker movement, as opposed to the tinkerers and the hobbyists who came before, is two things. One is the web generation. The web generation means they instinctively share. They do things in the open, in public, and they do things together. They collaborate. They use the web's innovation model from open source to informal collaboration to build on each other's work to innovate even more quickly. And the second is that their ideas start on screens. The fact they start digital, and that means they can be prototyped with a single copy on your desktop or uploaded and made in the millions by the biggest factories in the world. Because they start digital means they have a portability that can address any scale. They can be a hobby or they can be a company, and it's the same format can allow you to design something, make it, collaborate, innovate with others, and ultimately make it.